introduce for you. He already did, but he asked me to introduce him the Appalachian way. Now, what happened was that I think I was the one that made this mistake. It's my fault. I don't know what else did, but
I don't say that,
that's a Eric Letts, L-E-T-Z, but it's spelled Eric Lentz. This here is Eric Lentz from Fort Worth, Texas. We're so good having this, not to spit you back up. Eric Letts, amen.
Thank you, Richard. I wanted to go back real quick, if y'all don't mind. Doug asked me to talk about some things for Cuba trip. I want to go back and speak to a couple of the questions that were asked a minute ago. I'm going to get to that. I'm going to segue as best as I can. One of the questions we asked was the online question about not having enough money and some of the things there. The Lord showed me this. I guess this was about a year and a half ago, about how sometimes it's about the decisions we've made that have put us in that situation. And one of the things about these two things, specifically counterfeit and surety, I kind of look at it too as the kind of an orphan culture, and you have a culture of the kingdom. And part of that orphan culture is this was my mentality, and if I'm the only one in the room, I can try to bear the weight of that. But my mentality was that no matter what the job was, I had to take it. In our company, no matter what the sale was, we had to take it. We were going to figure out how we were going to get that sale done. We got to a point where sales were incredibly high, but we weren't making a nickel on them. And it's one of those things to where the Lord had to really convict me of that and show me how that orphan culture trying to hoard up all of these sales and all of this activity was was really just a measure of my faithlessness. And that, I thought, well, the Lord's bringing sales, praise to God, and everything's great. But that was really just my orphan mentality trying to drag in everything I could. And I was sinking the boat while I was doing that. And I was counseling a young man the other day, and he was talking to me about how they were just going to have faith in God that the budget deficit they were running, that he was going to somehow provide. And I know the Lord can take care of that if he needs to. I'm not saying that's not the case. But I said, let's go back to the decision y'all made some time ago where that budget deficit started happening. And we went back to that and really traced it back to where there was some disobedience there. And, that's a tough pill to swallow sometimes for us, because we don't want to accept the fact that, there was a decision made and that's what led to where you were. But, I really did think that we just need to take every sale that came across our desk. I mean, I really did think that. Till the end of the day, we were worn out and didn't make a nickel off of anything. So anyways, I wanted to address that. I think there's some relevance there in that question. And I'm always amazed at how to go back sometimes and really ask myself the question, did the Lord lead me to do this, or is this some more of that orphan residue that I'm still working out? And trying to hold on to any of that stuff, it's just going to hurt as we keep moving forward in the culture of sons, or the culture of the kingdom of being sons and maturing. So I wanted to speak to that a little bit, if that's okay. Daddy asked me to speak about a trip that we took to Cuba. In January, Doug and Derek and I went to Cuba for a couple weeks, and felt like about 2 years, but that was mostly because I was with Doug and Derek. one of the first things about going to a place like that, you were talking, that question was asked about these two different cultures. I mean, guys, you don't know anything about different cultures till you go down there. These people have been so victimized for the last 60 years. You offered them a simple suggestion like, loan this guy this money to help him out to get this thing going. Yeah, they don't even know what a loan is. I mean, just simple little concepts about buying a good and adding some value to it and reselling it. I mean, these are things they've just never even heard of. And it's, you know, you have a couple generations now under the belt of that regime, and you can really see how that's been so pervasive in the mentalities there. And it's really led to this victimization where everybody is just a state asset. There's really no identity in any of these people. That's part of what the Lord's working out down there. But we went down there and began to talk to the men and women about, you know, their identity and the Lord's purpose and what they're doing and some of the culture of the kingdom and how it relates to their finances. And Derek, in fact, the Lord led him to kind of do an administration down there where we grabbed seven of the leaders of the church that we went to serve. And we grabbed some of those men, and Derek spoke to them about, you know, each of them having their own talents, and not in terms of money or anything like that, but in terms of who they were and the potential of depositing into these seven leaders a measure of speaking to others and delivering this message to those that walk with those people. And really, it's the whole mentality of freely giving, freely receiving and freely giving to others. And, you know, to them, I mean, if you get anything, you hold on to it and you don't give it to anyone else. Because that's all, that, you know, your daily ration is all you're going to get. And so when we began to share this with these leaders and open this up and you know, begin to kind of talk to them about different levels of this, you know, they were shocked by it. And one of the things that the Lord led Derek to do was to give some of these guys resources to free them up for an entire year. It was an entire year, wasn't it? Yeah, a little more than that.
Tell them about the three different amounts.
Okay. I was asleep during that part of it. Well, you know, down there you basically have a regular day labor would make about $10 a month. Wasn't that about the equivalent of what we were dealing with, about $10 a month? A doctor, a highly educated doctor, would receive $20 a month. And so, you know, I'm going to just bring Derek down a notch. I mean, a full year, that's only, what, $200? He's really not that generous. I was smoking cigars. But we began to talk to each of these guys to free them up, to get them to the point where they could at least begin to ask the Lord, Lord, what do you have? When you free them up from this stuff, I mean, that let them kind of freely consider what the Lord has for them. You know, we were amazed right off the bat just how these people, I mean, the weight of the world got lifted off their shoulders. And everything these guys think about is, am I going to receive tomorrow's ration? I mean, that's it. That's all they really think about. Not even tomorrow, it's really today's ration. We begin to talk to them about simple concepts like, what do you think about putting a laundromat in here? Let's go import a couple Chinese washers and dryers and get a laundromat going in here. And little things like that, and those are little mentalities they'd never had before. But that, you know, sort of like what Bev was talking earlier about their ministries and their work, we began to just speak to them about that and open that up for them. And every single one of these guys thought, if you were a leader and knew Jesus Christ, you had to go start up your own church. And that was it. I mean, that was the end of the story. And when we began to speak to them about these things, I mean, all of them, you just saw lights popping on in every one of their heads. It was really quite incredible to see that in those individuals, and we look forward to going back and seeing what's happened over the last few months when we do get to go back. But you know, that trip, it really highlighted to me the cultural differences in what we have and what we've been given, and the nature of what, I mean, you know, these guys have nothing. I mean, literally nothing. Hopefully a shirt on their back is what they got. And just to see the different levels you know, I don't want to use the word poverty, but more the word of just a cultural victimization that these people have endured is quite astonishing. So that's really what I got to say about that trip.
The thing that was remarkable to me about the administration that took place, we went there and met with a guy named Juan Carlos, and these seven leaders that Eric was talking about were seven of his closest sons. We asked him to assemble them. And because what Eric was talking about there, lack of a entrepreneurial understanding or a culture that dealt with economics, because all the, you know, when you get $240 a year as a wealthy person, it doesn't take long to figure out what to do with that. So there's not many opportunities. But we began to talk to them about how they could raise up their sons and do these different things. And we talked to them about being a bank for the house of God in Cuba. But we told them that the resource wouldn't be money, but it'd be wisdom and understanding and knowledge and revelation that they would give to their sons to help them start up these businesses. This is how God is going to bring us as the house of God. When it said, we talked about last night, that in the end times they're going to say, come let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. You know, we've all heard this teaching about the seven mountains that we're going to take over. I don't believe that's the way it is. We have our own separate mountain. We're not going to go take over these corrupted systems and change them. We're going to come out of the world, have our own mountain, and the world will come to us. Our culture, the way we do things is going to be totally different. One of the things we teach about is, for years we were all trained on how to do business under the system of commerce. All of our decisions, some of these decisions Eric was talking about that we've made, and we've made poorly, was because we did it out of the system of commerce. Well, commerce, simply defined, is the buying and selling of goods. If I can jump up on this table and say, you'll neither buy nor sell without my mark, that makes me the king of commerce. So the system of commerce is run by the devil. It is his deception on us. It is all about, commerce is all about buying and selling, performance, being your own provision, being your own protection. It is the greatest scheme that is played on us. It is what sends us down that thing of toil. What we are beginning to see and learn now is how to do business under the economy of the kingdom of God as opposed to the system of commerce. Part of our mountain will be how to do business under the economy of the kingdom of God. Part of the economy of the kingdom of God is no one considering anything their own. And when no one considers anything their own, there will be no need among us. So the very question that Lisa brought up will no longer exist when the revelation and the maturity and the grace to sustain that has come to a level where we truly, no one considers anything their own. And it's not, like Derek was saying earlier today, it's not what we tried in the 60s of us all go move together in a park and get naked and call it a commune and share everything. That didn't work out very good. It is truly understanding that the earth and all that it is in it is the Lord's. And that all that I am and all that I touch is available to you. And that the very best thing that I can do for myself is to see my brothers and sisters mature in the Lord to the fullness of who God created them to be, because the sum of the parts is greater than the whole. That I can't be who God created, I can't be the fullness of who God created me to be if Richard's not the fullness of who God created him to be. That it requires that we all come together in that fullness. Just briefly, before we kick out of there, this thought came to mind. I'm talking to you about Ephesians 4:11 and 12. Much is said about those DOMA governmental gifts of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. And this is things according to Doug. You know, we in the 70s and 80s, we talked about a season of the prophets, and there was this thing going on, and then we began in the 90s to start talking about the season of the apostles. I do not believe that the 80s and 90s was a season of the prophets. I believe they were a season of prophecy, that men began to call upon the name of the Lord, and we heard from God, and God began to speak things to us. But it clearly says in Scripture, first the apostles, then the prophets. So I don't think the season of the prophets would have come before the season of the apostles. The reason I say this to you is the order of the building of the house is first the apostles, then the prophets, and that these will lay the foundation with Christ Jesus being the cornerstone, and then the house of God will be built. To me, the most frustrated DOMA gifts in the body today should be the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. If you're an evangelist and you have a real desire to see people to come in, but you have nothing to bring them into because the house has not been built yet, you ought to be real frustrated. If you have a real love for the body of Christ, but the house has not been assembled yet, and you got no one to love on, you ought to be really frustrated. If you're a teacher and you want to teach our culture, but you have no students yet because the body hasn't been assembled because the house hadn't been built, you ought to be real frustrated. My point is simply this. We've been given that order. We've seen the apostles come forth. We're seeing the true prophets come forth now. We're seeing the foundation being laid. We're seeing the house of God rising up. I believe the next wave that will come through is that the evangelist will begin to be able to bring people into the house. When the evangelist brings people into the house, there'll be a great need for the pastor, the DOMA pastor, to come forth and love on the house. When the DOMA pastor comes forth and loves on the household, then the next step will be for the teacher to begin to teach the household this culture of heaven that we've been talking about. And the DOMA gifts will be fulfilled. A lot of emphasis being put on those DOMA gifts. Especially a lot of emphasis being put on the apostolic. But I want you to know, these gifts are the least of the gifts. Because they're conditional until the DOMA gifts will go away. It says, He gave some to be until. When we reach the full stature of Christ Jesus, the DOMA gifts will pass away. The ones that are of great value that will continue for all eternity are the pneuma charismatic gifts that we speak of in Corinthians, because they're without recall. Those gifts go on forever. We're performing a function today of equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. We're bringing forth the maturation of the sons of God and the understanding of the culture of heaven so that each part can come in and take its place in the body of Christ, and it can function under the instruction of the Spirit and in the power of the Spirit in the pneuma charismatic gifts, which are of the greatest value of all. It's all about us being raised up, drawn forth. We were talking over here at the break about one of the hardest things about this thing over here and recognizing the counterfeit is we feel like we have to say we were wrong. And it's hard for us to let our pride say, I was wrong. It's not really that. I was deceived. What does it require? It requires that I repent and get a new mindset. Change my mind and see things from a different way. I mean, I was wrong. I was caught up in the crowd. I was one that the enemy targeted to deceive. But it's no skin off my back to say I was wrong about that. I was deceived. Let's go some other way. So, I want to call Mark up here, Mark Bradley. He's got a piece of this that I think we'll adjourn on and come back. Okay, after him, can you do that? Let me let you have Mark, and then Richard can have it, and dismiss us for dinner.
I had come up because I was just wondering why there weren't more questions, and
you ought to hold it up too.
Okay. I was coming up because I was wondering why there weren't more questions. I do admit I didn't have a question. I wish I had, but I wonder why there were not more questions, and that's when the conversation was going, as Doug said, about the business of pride and so forth. And one of the other things we were talking about, I was sharing how I appreciated actually his charts and boards, because I do facilitation and training, and to me you're not doing that until you have a marker and charts, and so my bell was happy. But everyone gets prepared by the Holy Spirit for whatever God is doing, and one of the things the Lord had been doing with me is this business of this list you have over here, counterfeit, in terms of unlearning and how important that is. And that's one of the things they talk a lot about in training before you walk into a room. I don't even have words to describe it. It's just so deep and powerful that you have to unlearn or be willing to let go of what you thought you knew, and that's been a whole part of things for me, to realize that everything's been redefined. Everything I thought I knew, love, whatever it was, I thought I knew, I did not know. But as you pointed out, I was deceived. But this business of unlearning is something that in our household have been talking about a lot, as a matter of fact, and desirous of the Lord to move us there. The other thing was, I may have seen this, and maybe God didn't see it. Who knows? But anyway, there is, in the 40s and 50s, there's these healings that were taking place. I don't claim to have been there, but, you know, where you have crutches, wheelchairs, and things like that. And they would put them in piles or nail them to the wall. When I look at John G. Lake and people like that. And so over here where Dana and Rose are, it was like there was a pile. Like, I could see a pile of these things over here. And what it was the thoughts that I and all of us have that are being dismantled, tore down, plucked up, pulled down, broken up, and they're all over here and nailed to the wall. They're the ideas and things that we have. And the last part is that there was one or two, though, individuals who kind of came over and were looking around, rummaging through the pile. And that's all I saw. It kind of reminded me of maybe if you saw the kids in Mexico City or where there's dump piles, kind of going through the pile. And that's all I saw.
Thank you.
Michael's saying he's going to have work to do now because I'm getting up to say something. Listen, as long as I'm still growing up, Michael's got job security. Amen? I want to say something based on something Doug just said, because this is going out over the internet, and I know how some believers can tend to take something and run with it. It says here, he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into unity of the faith, not just you. Not when you decide you got to the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, and you got mature, and now you don't need apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers anymore. I just felt like I didn't want that to be misinterpreted.
Come on,
I'm getting that going on me now. And, what?
Go ham on.
Go ham on. No, no, don't. See, for those of you who don't know, they like to get me wound up, and then they want to laugh at me. It ain't right. I did want to do one more thing before we get out of here. Emily, come up here, young lady. she felt like she had something that she wanted to share about the clutch.
Actually, I don't know. I think it was you that shared something about the clutch, actually. I had thought that most clutches don't have handles, and I was thinking about this, and God said, this empty bag that God has for us, we don't have a handle on it. He has it in control, and we don't have to worry about it. So that's what I had.
Now, tell everybody about what's happening with you coming up this year and how that you're having to learn about that.
Last year, around April or so, there was a tsunami in Japan, and I had really felt like I was supposed to go there, and I got this opportunity that just came up, and I took it, and during June to July, I'm going to be going to Japan, and I had $5,000 to raise, and it was quite a lot for me, so I was like, how is this going to work, and Richard had said to me, he's like, oh, it's just a drop in the bucket, and I'm like, okay, whatever, and and, like, within, like, 3 weeks, I had almost, like, $4,000, so, like, it really just goes to show that nothing is in my hands, and God has it in control. Yeah.
Amen. Isn't that great? And, I got off the phone and said to my wife, well, we're going to help send Emily to Japan. Amen. And, you know, that's kind of where I started this weekend, saying that, you know, God's going to meet the needs, not always just because he's going to move heaven and earth for you personally, and just you're going to have this money tree drop down from heaven and drop in your backyard. But he's going to use you to help others and others to help you. And that's what I was encouraging her. And that, you know, there was a day when Michael had to say the same thing to me. It's no big deal. God will provide the money. And I was like, well, I don't know how he's going to do it. And so it's exciting to see. Here's a young lady who's grown up in this. 16, just turned 16. And then here she's going off to Japan, for crying out loud. How does that happen? I mean, she grew up in Adams County, Pennsylvania. For those of you that don't know it, there's a mentality up there in that county. When we first moved there, my wife and I went out one day and we needed it. Remember entertainment centers? We needed an entertainment center to put our TV and everything on. And so we drove down to York and we couldn't find one. So we drove down to Hanover and we couldn't find it. So we drove on over to up to Carlisle. And couldn't find one, and finally ended up in Harrisburg that day. All those places in one day. And most people we told about that lived in Adams County almost had a heart attack. Because you go to one of those cities, you have to plan a month ahead of time. And we did it all in one day. Second story that kind of goes along with that, one time I was taking Dave Redding back there. Raise your hand, Dave. He's like in his 40s, I think, taking him on a trip, on an airplane trip to Texas with me. And I was talking to him about, so this is your first trip on an airplane? And he said, yes, it was my first trip out of Adams County, Pennsylvania. I said, what? I'm not trying to make Dave a spectacle. The point is this. That's where we all are a lot of times. You know? It's like we're in this little world. And can find, and he came to me one day later down the road and thanked me for getting him out of that little circle, because it enabled him to begin to take his wife places he had never thought about taking her, going and doing things. And now he's got a travel trailer and does all kinds of things now. I don't think he'd ever done that if God hadn't have had him on a plane going to Texas. Amen? So I know Texas.
You go
to Texas, you can go anywhere, Doug says. But I think that I don't think I know. I mean, I'm going to leaving on Monday, flying to Australia, and this will be the first time I'll be out of the country. I'm going all the way to Australia. I mean, I'm gonna lose a whole day just getting there. I mean, May 1st won't exist. I don't even know how you do that. It's what? But it's a real expansion for my life, and I think that I know that God is what it's going to take is unlearning these ways, embracing new ways, and realizing that you know God can do whatever He wants to do. A friend of mine one time got on invited to a trip to go to England to be at a they're having a big Druid priest conference at the Stonehenge, and they're going to take this group of people in there to witness, and he got to go. And he said he went, spent the whole week there, and came back, and nothing really happened. And he went, believing the Lord told him to go. And he said, he got back, and he said, Lord, I don't understand why you sent me there. Nothing happened. He said, nothing happened this time. He said, but I just wanted to see if you'd obey me and go where I told you to go, when I want you to go. And it totally revolutionized his world and his thinking. We need a revolution in our thinking, don't we?
Yep.
Amen. Brother Dan?
I know everybody's ready to go to dinner. I don't want to fringe on your dinner time, but one of the things that marks this household is a culture of honor. And I know that there's a number of you fathers who were invited here by Richard via email. And while we haven't had opportunity to, because people have been coming and going, I just want to ask if you have been invited in any written form or verbally by Richard and you are a father in this area or region, will you please stand? If you've been invited by Richard via email or verbally as a father, will you please stand? I ask you to stand because even some of the sons I have here who was personally part of my household, they're not quite sure how our relationships connect. And just wanted to make sure that they had opportunity to see you. And not only see you, but hopefully we have an opportunity to hear, you know, something quickly about where you're from. Because I'm not going to assume everybody knows each other, and I know that we've been having a good fellowship time where we can come together and sort of meet new people, but you don't get a chance to meet everyone. But I think it's pertinent that if we want to see how this thing looks, that we have to start with some of the basics, and that's not assume certain things. You know, we have to practice some fundamental what we call household manners, and that is making sure that we know one another after the Spirit, but also get opportunity to allow our family to see the fathers, so that when there's a clarion call, like there was, the only thing Richard had to do was pick up the phone one time and to blow a trumpet, whether it was a meeting, whether he just needed assistance or anything else, he knows that I will be there by his side because of our relationship. But to see how some of these relationships work, I was at lunchtime sharing with one of the sisters and brothers how Michael had said something very prophetic. I mean, he basically said that the way the Lord's going to work with some of our relationships is going to be integral that we see the connections there. And so I believe that's is starting now. That's really starting now. So hopefully, you know, of course, I don't have any administration in this meeting, but I believe it would be pertinent that those fathers who stood, that you would give an account of who you are. And if you do have any other sons here, we would love to hear, you know, who relates to you. And also, anything else quickly you feel like to share in your heart. Is that okay? And I'm going to do something that we haven't done since we've been here. I'm going to pray us out. Is that okay? Let's stand. If that's okay with you. Can we pray out, Richard? All right. Because a lot of things have been said, and you have to understand, we understand the spirit of prayer. We walk in prayer. But a lot of things have been said this morning, I know for me personally, that sometimes it takes the Holy Spirit to make sure that it settles in your heart. And so I'm just going to ask that the impartation we've had from the Word, that the Spirit and the Word will work together and bring what it needs to bring to give us the increase. Because sometimes our minds can be overwhelmed, but trust me, there's a spiritual depth here that I felt. There's no confusion in this room. There's a spiritual depth here that I felt is a result of your maturity and your capacity and your spirit to be able to obtain even the things you don't quite understand yet, but yet, you know, they have been revealed to you. And that's key. Father, we bless you for our time together. We thank you for meeting us in this place. Lord, I feel like Abel, as a family, we're offering unto you that which you are requiring, and we are so thankful for the opportunity, Lord, for you once again to step out of eternity and speak to us in time and space. We don't take it lightly, Lord, and we just want you to know we don't despise holy things in this hour. We are so appreciative of the relationships that you've given us. We are appreciative of the eyes of our heart being enlightened today. We are so appreciative that every personal burden that's in this room and every concern, you have heard and you've already supplied the Spirit to fill that need. And we are so grateful for that. So, Lord, that which was proclaimed, that which we have seen, and that which we have heard, we ask that you would allow us to handle it in life. Let us handle the words of life in our brothers and sisters as we hug and kiss, as we exchange words for the rest of this meeting, Father. And Lord, I pray that you will continue to give those who you sent here to deliver a word, Father, to give them the supply of your grace to be able to articulate those things from heaven in a plain, practical way that will bring enlightenment and growth and strength to your body. Lord, we bless you for that. We bless you for our time together thus far. Some will be leaving, some will be coming. Lord, we pray for the travel, going back and forth, that you will minister to those in transit. But most of all, we thank you, Lord, that we're not finished, that you have not finished that which you started. So continue to allow our spirit to ignite. Continue to allow our spirit to be consistent and persistent. Lord, we thank you that we have power over our souls. So therefore, anything that will hinder us from being consistent in these meetings, Lord, we move it to the side. We freely grasp that which we need in this hour. For it's in Jesus' holy name that we together meet here in his character. Amen. Amen.